worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Then looking in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Verses 38 to 42, Luke chapter 10. Lord, thank you once again for the wisdom, the power, the grace, the strength, the encouragement, the light, and so much more that rests upon and within your word. And thank you for the privilege, the blessing, the encouragement that is ours as we open your word and spend time with you one-on-one every day, reading and meditating your word. Father, with every passing day, help us to become more in tune to the fact that reading and meditating on your word every day is so important to everything and everyone in all circumstances. Help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word as well. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Stir us as believers, as husbands, as wives, as fathers and mothers, as grandfathers and grandmothers, to be diligent about the work of being disciples and making disciples and beginning in our own homes. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I want to come in agreement with Pastor Joseph right now that you'd teach us more about your ways. You'd teach us more about walking in discipleship, that you'd teach us more about how you walked with the disciples side by side with them, teaching them hand in hand, like showing them by action, Father. Father, we pursue you. We want to know more about your love. Thank you so much for being the perfect example of love. And Father, we just ask that if there's any ways that we need to grow in more, that you'd reveal those ways and that we would never give up pursuing being more like you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're very blessed and honored to have with us in studio Skylar Wilson. Skylar is a young lady who my wife, Bertie, and I had the privilege of, well, we had the privilege of being in their home church, Hillcrest Baptist Church in, I'm trying to remember the name of your town, hometown.
New Albany.
New Albany. How can I forget New Albany? Okay. We were there, had the privilege of visiting there at Hillcrest Church, and had the opportunity to both hear a beautiful testimony from Skylar, and she got baptized that day as well. And so we had the privilege of inviting Skylar to come to be with us, and she's going to share her testimony. But Skylar, good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
All right. And so you're prepared. You're going to read a scripture for us to begin with, and then you're going to share your testimony. So you're going to read Psalm 32, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you'll go ahead and read that for us, please go right ahead.
How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is the person whom the Lord does not charge with iniquity, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is faithful pray to you immediately. When the great flood waters come, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with joyful shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye on you, I will give counsel. Do not be like a horse or a mule, without understanding, that must be controlled with a bit and a bridle, or else it will not come near you. Many pains come to the wicked, but the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
All right. Thank you, Skylar. You're an excellent reader. Thank you for taking the time. And Skylar, let me mention one more reason why we're so grateful to have you come. We like to often have young people come and read the Word of God on air, and one of the reasons being is because young people like yourself inspire other young people, and young people inspire adults as well. And so one of our ongoing encouragements is that believers would start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in their Bible every day. And for some believers, when they hear that, their immediate thoughts are, oh, that's a lot. We know it's really not. You can read your average 3 chapters in about 15 minutes, but it's so productive. And so again, as individuals, youth, and adults hear someone like you, Skylar, read the Word of God, that encourages people in ways sometimes we may not fully realize. So thank you again for being with us today. But you're also going to share your testimony. And as I said, my wife, Bertie, and I had the privilege of hearing your beautiful testimony as well as being there. Just so happened we were there the day you got baptized, and it was a beautiful ceremony as well. And Hillcrest seemed like an exciting church to be a part of as well. So at this time, would you go right ahead and share your testimony?
I've grown up in church with my family and have been a part of Bible Buddies and Bible Drills, as well as Fusion and Ministry 56. About a year and a half ago, I started having a lot of questions. My dad took me to see Brother Jason, and I talked to him for a while and got a lot of my questions answered. Then I entered the 5th grade, where my homeroom teacher, Miss Lindy Whedon, reads devotionals to the class every morning. This really helped me because she told me so many things about the Bible I did not know. Then I had a dream that caught my attention. I was scared because I knew if I died, I would go to hell. I started asking my parents questions again and went to see Brother Jason. Not long after that, I realized I am not promised tomorrow, so I talked to my parents about it. The next day, on January 27th, I went to talk to Jack and I accepted Christ. Now that I have a relationship with him, I am no longer afraid of how much time I have or where I'm going. I'm excited to learn more about him and build my relationship with him.
Amen. Amen. Skylar, that's a beautiful testimony, and thank you again for sharing it. Now, Skylar, I want to do this. I'm going to ask you to read it again. Now, let me tell you why. You know, you touch on some things that are so important. You know, the fact is, thousands of people die all over the world every day. And there are only two places they are to go, either heaven or hell. And we don't like to talk about hell, but it's very real. But the fact that you shared in your testimony is very important. So would you share that testimony one more time, okay?
From the beginning?
Yes.
I've grown up in church with my family and have been a part of Bible Buddies and Bible Drills, as well as Fusion and Ministry 56. About a year and a half ago, I started having a lot of questions. My dad took me to see Brother Jason, and I talked to him for a while and got a lot of my questions answered. Then I entered the fifth grade, where my homeroom teacher, Miss Lindy Whedon, reads devotionals to the class every morning. This really helped me because she told me so many things about the Bible I did not know. Then I had a dream that caught my attention. I was scared because I knew if I died, I would go to hell. I started asking my parents questions again and went to see Brother Jason. Not long after that, I realized I am not promised tomorrow, so I talked to my parents about it. The next day, on January 27th, I went to talk to Jack and I accepted Christ. Now that I have a relationship with him, I am no longer afraid of how much time I have or where I am going. I am excited to learn more about him and build my relationship with him.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful. Now, so your teacher reads devotions for you in school then?
She does.
That is so neat. That you must have a very wise teacher. Praise the Lord for that. So apparently God was planting seeds in your heart through your church and through school as well. Father, thank you for Skylar, and thank you for many, many other young people in our communities and all over the world who accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior at a young age. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us as the church to be able to do the work of evangelism and discipleship everywhere we have the opportunity to do it. And thank you for the opportunity to be faithful at it. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Empower us to be a church that is faithfully doing that every single day. Help us to know, Lord, that as Skylar shared in her testimony, tomorrow is not promised to any one of us. And the fact is, if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're going to spend all eternity with you. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to look forward to. Yet sadly, when people reject Christ or just decide that they just have more important things to do than to want to know him or follow him, what a tragedy when they leave this world. Father, anoint all of us that as we're listening today, anoint us all afresh and anoint the church afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day for us to listen to your Holy Spirit and share our testimony, give out gospel tracts, be witnesses for you, to live in such a way where sometimes we'll just tell of how you've answered prayer or how you've moved in our lives, but help us to know that every day is an important day to be a witness for Christ Jesus. Lord, stir us to recognize this is such serious business. The business of your kingdom and your church is the most important business in the world. Help us to be about your business every single day. Help us to be living faithfully in such a way, Lord, that you reach through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say and the things we do, and use us more and more to point people to Jesus Christ. Father, just like a beautiful testimony like the one Skylar just shared, help us to know that everyone has a testimony they can share to touch the lives of people for today and for all eternity. And Lord, help us as the church to become faithful and very passionate and deliberate about especially ministering to our children and youth. Help us to know, Lord, that we live in a world where in so many ways, it looks like the devil's trying to swallow our children alive. Help us as the church to be passionate and committed to doing what you've clearly called us to do, to go into all the world and make disciples, and help us to start at home. What a privilege, what a blessing, what an honor it is to do just that. And we thank you and praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Well, again, Skylar, thank you so much for coming. And thanks again for sharing your testimony at church and here on air with us as well, okay? Thanks for being a part of our listening family. And please pray much for ministries to youth and our children in our communities and in our world. We'll be right back. Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room. Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
your name that tears down walls.
Music from Life Church Worship, where the Spirit of the Lord is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, we were grateful to have with us in the first segment Skylar Wilson, the young lady that's in the fifth grade, who graciously came to both share scripture and share her beautiful testimony of how she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the balance of the broadcast, we're looking at just the whole topic of discipleship as a whole, but discipling our children and youth in particular. You know, I don't think I can overemphasize how important it is that we take very serious the fact that God calls the whole church. In Matthew chapter 28, he tells us very clearly, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's a command to every believer, everywhere, under all circumstances. And the work of making disciples is the work of both the combined work of evangelism and discipleship. We're to share the gospel and then help people to teach and train them to grow up in their faith and to grow strong and vibrant as well. So in this segment, I want to take time to read passages. And, you know, something, if you listen pretty regularly, you may be aware, there are certain passages I lean on quite a bit. But one of the reasons being is because one of the priorities, for lack of a better word, that the Lord has placed upon me, and that is a calling for the mission behind this broadcast, is helping believers to become serious prayer warriors and serious disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So looking in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, it tells us these words. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy, and you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. So again, this passage powerfully draws out the very important point of the importance of us taking discipleship seriously. First of all, a beginning place, of course, is your own home. Yes, husbands and wives, you're to disciple and encourage each other in the faith. But also, parents, as children come into the picture, as children are born in your home, we're to be very deliberate and passionate and committed to doing the work of discipling our children seriously. So my encouragement to every home is that parents would have each of your children read no less than 3 chapters out loud to you every single day. That is a tremendous battle strategy for you and your home. Nothing will equip, bless, and empower our children more so than the wonderful and blessed Word of God. So helping to plant the Word of God in the hearts and the minds of our children every single day is very, very important. So Hebrews 6, verses 1 to 9, again, powerfully draws out the fact that God is commanding us to take discipling our children very, very serious. Then looking further in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. And let me just say this too. Joshua chapter 1 is it's a passage I would encourage you to read often. And for this reason, it's very encouraging to read it. And it's a reminder that to follow Christ faithfully, you have to follow him courageously and boldly. Reading Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I've given you, from the Negev wilderness to the south, to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Verses 1 through 9 of Joshua chapter 1. And Isaac, I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment to pray for the discipleship work between couples. You know, if you have any thoughts that you wanted to share before you pray, but you know, the whole idea of husbands and wives discipling and encouraging each other in the faith, that is an area of discipleship that needs a lot more time and energy in particular, though. So if you had any thoughts that you wanted to share about that, but also would you pray for couples to become very serious about discipling and encouraging each other in their faith?
Absolutely. Well, first, before I pray, the first thought I had was in Genesis, it kind of goes forwards and backwards in God creating man and woman. Like first it says he made Adam, and then he makes Eve, but then it kind of says it in a different way, saying in the beginning, God created male and female. He created them together. And so like in marriage, it's not a you on your own walk and your spouse on their own walk. It's both of y'all being independent yet united people pursuing the face of the Father together. Like it is not at all independent. So Father, I ask that you'd reveal to us more about what that means. Reveal to us more about what it means to be one flesh. And reveal to us more about what it means to be one with you. Father, I ask that you'd grow us in maturity, that you'd grow us in discipleship, that you'd grow us in pursuing your face, that you'd create a hunger in our hearts. And Father, I ask that you'd bring us gentleness, that you'd bring us peace, that you'd bring us faithfulness, that you'd bring us steadfastness in reading scriptures and praying together and reading devotionals and reading books. And just, Father, I ask that we would pursue growing together. Because it's not a on your own thing. The church is a whole body. It's the church. You've called the church to work together as one. And Father, you've called the same thing for couples, that we'd pursue your face, that we'd pursue your work together. It's your work. It's your will. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to share with our listeners, This year, as we have for the last several years, we've had what we call the Ten Commandments Project, and specifically, we've shared a speech challenge or contest that's been a part of it. Well, this year, once again, we're doing the Ten Commandments Project. That's an ongoing project, but we're doing the speech challenge. In 2024, this year, we're doing the speech challenge. So I'm going to share information about that. And to every believer listening, I want to encourage you as an individual believer, someone who may have the opportunity to encourage maybe young people that you know that are part of your church or in your community to participate. But parents that are listening, we hope that you'll prayerfully consider having each of your children participate. If you happen to work with youth in youth ministry in your local church, please listen closely because this is a fun project, but a very, very fruitful project that we've seen have great impact on the lives of young people. So again, sharing about the Ten Commandments Project, the 2024 Speech Challenge. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In Psalm 119, verse 9, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Again, Psalm 119, verse 9. The Ten Commandments Project is a powerful tool to help believers and the church reach out to children and youth in our world and culture. By the power and promise of God's word, it can really make a very productive impact in and on the lives of our youth. This project is a tool and a means to disciple children and young people with one of the most powerful and fruitful teaching tools in all of the Word of God. In our world, which seems to be set on fire by the kingdom of darkness, the genuine answer is the powerful water of the Word of God. See John 4:14, John 7:37-39, Ephesians 5:26, and Isaiah 55:1. The Ten Commandments are found in full in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. They share God's moral law, his great wisdom, and provide insight for living a life that honors God. The American Family Association is interested in helping to cast a vision for other believers, churches, and groups that would be interested in doing the Ten Commandments Project, speech challenge, or a similar one in their own community. Just contact us at faq@afa.net, or you can email me at joseph@afr.net and mention my name and just call and get in touch with us. We'll be glad to share that with you. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 through 11, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you." Proverbs 9, 10 to 11. The Ten Commandments Speech Challenge is a very important part of the Ten Commandments Project. Here's how the speech challenge works. And the Ten Commandments, of course, are as follows. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make for yourselves any graven images or worship any other thing or person. Number three, you should not use God's name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not tell lies. Number 10, you shall not covet. A project such as this helps the church to be on the offensive, doing the work of God. The Ten Commandments are a powerful tool to do spiritual battle against the kingdom of darkness. The Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. We're asking each participant to write a speech or have someone help you to write a speech on this topic for this year. Why are the Ten Commandments important? We suggest that your speech be 3 to 5 minutes, although any length is welcome. Also, please use your cell phone or any other means that will work for you to record the speech. Send the recording to faq@afa.net or to jparker@afa.net with Ten Commandments Project Speech as the subject line. If you need help in writing your speech, we're glad to help you even in that way by phone. Call me, Pastor Joseph Parker, at 662-844-5036, extension 381. Please conclude that we've received your child's speech only after you receive a confirmation email from us that we have, in fact, received it. We're inviting children and youth from ages 7 to 17 to participate in this project. Speeches should be submitted no later than June 31st, 2024. For the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge, every youth who participates will receive a Ten Commandments t-shirt. Each youth will also receive a bookmark and a free shipping coupon code to use in the AFA Resource Center. The devil is behind school shootings, abortions, youth dying from drug use, bullying, suicides, and or youth being incarcerated as they break other commandments and reap the consequences. Our children and youth desperately need to hear the gospel and to be discipled in the powerful word of God. Romans 1:16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," Romans 1:16. There's power in the mighty word of God, power to save and heal us, the power to set us free from the bondage of sin. Our children are being attacked from so many directions by the kingdom of darkness. What's the answer? The answer is found in putting the most powerful weapon in the universe to work in their lives, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. Let's be faithfully about our Father's business as we faithfully carry out the Great Commission to make disciples. Let's be faithful to begin this great work in our own homes. Again, if you want more information about the Ten Commandments Project, email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be right back. Music from Passion with God of This City. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. And we've been looking today at the topic of the high priority of discipling our children and the need for us to be very deliberate about discipling our children as well. And let me say this too, it's very important for us to recognize this, that as believers, you know, the Word of God lets us know that it's the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. One of the many names of the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is also Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. It's very wise for us as believers to spend time just thinking and meditating on the reality that the Word of God, the written Word of God, again, the Word of God is Jesus. So that means anything Jesus can do, the Word of God can do, because they're one in the same. And so it's worth spending much time meditating and thinking upon the fact that God's Word is Jesus. Sharing from Psalm 1, it tells us these words, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Well, as Psalm 1 tells us, it refers to this person who is a follower of God. It says that his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, when you delight in the Word of God, you're delighting in Jesus, because Jesus and the Word are one and the same. And what a wise and fruitful thing, place to grow to in your Christian walk, to where you delight in God's Word. When you're delighting in the Word of God, you're delighting in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful place of maturity to come to, because when we're delighting in the Word of God, we're delighting in Jesus, and we're wise to recognize that we have an appetite to know Christ, to follow him, to serve him. That's what we're here for. That's our purpose in the world, to know him, to serve him, and to follow him. Psalm 112 also tells us these words, "Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted." Verses 1 through 10, all of Psalm 112. Again, if you don't have the habit of reading at least three chapters in your Bible every day, today is a good day to start. Why is that important? Because when you're reading and meditating on God's Word, amongst other things, it's important because that's time where Jesus has the chance to spend one-on-one with you, molding and shaping you, helping you to become more and more like him. It's a time of ministering the medicine of God's Word to your entire being. It's pouring the nourishment that only the Word of God can give to you. God's Word ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Nothing blesses your entire being like the precious and powerful Word of God. I want to take time now to share another article. This article is entitled, "The High Priority of Discipling Our Children." Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And again, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Then Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight." Again, Proverbs 4, 1 to 7. Then Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Parents carry their children in their hearts. Their children are very, very important to them and precious to them. As parents, we want the absolute best for all of our children in every area of life. Well, a very important truth for all parents to be mindful of is that the best we can give to our children is Jesus. The greatest gift that they can ever receive in life is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is eternal life. So as parents, we're very wise to do all we can to help and encourage each of our children to receive Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior. Once our child is saved, it's one of the great responsibilities of Christian parents to disciple our children. It's our calling from the Lord to help and guide our children to become strong, vibrant believers who love and follow Jesus Christ in their life and lifestyle. Why is this so important? Well, first of all, we're commanded to make disciples. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 tells us this. And this is very important. This is a very important calling to start with ourselves. And in this very important calling, we're to start with ourselves and then move directly to our families, our spouses, and children. So in considering the great responsibility of discipling our children, just what are some of the steps or practical building blocks in the work of discipling our children? What are things we can do to effectively and practically carry out this important responsibility? Well, let's consider a few things that a parent can do to help their children to grow up in the Lord. The following are some practical things, ideas, and suggestions Christian parents can do to help and encourage their children to come to know the Lord and to grow up in their faith as well. Number one, pray daily with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them and allow them to lead it sometimes. Pray Psalm 91 daily with your children and allow them to hear you call out their name in prayer daily. Give your children incentives to memorize and learn Bible-based prayers. Number two, have your child to read no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God daily out loud to you. You can find short chapters, Psalms, or simply give a selected passage for younger children. For children who do not know how to read, for children who do not yet know how to read, let them repeat short chapters or passages after you as you speak them. Number three, some of those passages could be Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, etc., other short passages as well. Next, ask your child questions about what they read from the Word. What are 2 or 3 important points, things you heard or picked up from what you just read? What stood out to you in the passage you just read, etc.? Next, teach your children to obey the Word of God. Teach them to be doers of the Word of God, see James 1:22. Next, teach your children the meaning of each of the 10 commandments. Have them to memorize the 10 commandments. Teach them to pray the 10 commandments every day and to pray the 10 commandments for the church and for our nation. Next, take your family to church regularly, to Sunday school or worship, to Wednesday evening Bible study, etc. Guide them in being faithful members of a church family. Also, parents, it's very important for us all to recognize this reality. Someone or something will disciple your child one way or another. To put it in other words, certain people or certain things will capture your child's attention, interest, and or heart in this world. Some of these are celebrities, sports figures, television, the internet, things on his or her cell phone, video games, people they may meet in chat rooms, etc. Some topic that they can come across on the internet may captivate them and their mind and interest. And yes, these things can begin to, quote unquote, disciple your children. Some of these things can begin to mold their thoughts and their thinking and their perspectives about life and the world in too many wrong and twisted ways. And too often the results can be tragic. Consider sad incidents that you hear of too often in the news in our culture today. Some news stories include, 1, a teenage boy shot and killed by an individual as he tried to run away after stealing something. Secondly, an elementary age children attempting and sometimes succeeding in committing suicide. Next, young people committing suicide after being bullied online or in school. Then another sad reality, 3 young girls in a news story went off into the woods and 2 of them tried to murder the 3rd. And the stories could go on and on. And for time reasons, we'll conclude there. But the title of that article is The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you've never asked Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to commit or fully recommit your heart to the Lord, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins and all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to be in communication with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We would like to share with you some literature that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and to put down deep roots in your newfound faith. Please get in touch with us again. That email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Same email if you'd like to get a copy of the article or two that we shared, this final article entitled The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.